This is the Audio Class Experience.
Hey everybody, hope that life's treating you well at the moment. And if things are not going too well, then try not to worry too much. Just think about the better times that are ahead at some point soon in the future. Just sit tight and wait for the storm to pass by, I guess. But at some point, this will all pass and we'll go through it. I've got some news about the podcast, and it's good. We've been growing, and I expect further growth in the coming months. We've accumulated so far just over 630 plays in total in all episodes, which is around 20 streams in total per episode. Still quite small, but I hope that we can raise the bar and get around 1,000 streams in total by the end of the year and manage to get around 30 listeners per episode. So if you really like this podcast, do make sure that you share it to others so that they can enjoy it as well and that they don't miss out on all the good stuff that we put out here in the AudioCast community. And that's essential. That's essentially how we grow. So it means the world to me if you share this with other people, be it on social media, on word of mouth. And I think, yeah, mainly my main route of form of growth was thanks to this, that you guys shared. So I deeply appreciate it a lot. Thank you. And in this episode, number 33 so far, it's going to be special because it's the first time that I actually practice what I preach. I finally made the decision to invest for the first time in stocks. I decided to buy 2 shares of Coca-Cola for a total of $42. So I think we should start off with an introduction to Coca-Cola. And from there, identify the reasons why I picked this company as my first investment. Coca-Cola was founded in January 29th, 1892, and they became a leader in the beverage industry as one of the most recognizable brands ever created. The power of Coca-Cola comes from its brands. They own hundreds of brands across many sectors within the beverage industry. They develop these brands through in-house operations and making strategic acquisitions. In soft drinks, they own Coca-Cola, obviously, Sprite, Fanta, Schweppes, Appetizer, Fresca, just to name a few. And just look at the product range, for example, that the Coca-Cola brand has. Regular Coke, Coke Zero, Diet Coke, Zero Caffeine, Vanilla, Cherry, Orange, Vanilla, Coke with Coffee. And there's even a Coke energy drink. And in water and hydration, they own Dasani, Smart Water, Powerade, Vitamin Water, Zico, Aquarius, Topo Chico, and among others. And the power of the Coca-Cola company is in marketing and brand development. They manage to become a household name when it comes to beverage consumption. They treat their brands with the same care as original Coca-Cola brand, be it Smart Water or Powerade or whatever. Minute Maid, whatever. And yeah, additionally, they own Minute Maid, Simply Orange, Innocent, Fairlife Milk, Costa Coffee, as well as Honesty, Fuse, and Gold Peak. So they have countless more brands in every one of the beverage sectors. So as you can see, Coca-Cola has a very diversified product portfolio. They're not centered on just one product. One of the most well-known investors is Warren Buffett. Coca-Cola is one of his all-time favorites, and he owns a really large stake in the company. I think it was around 20% or something like that. Last year, he earned over $640 million in dividends from Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola went public back in 1919, just over 100 years ago. The share at that time started trading at $40, while a year later, it dropped to $19 a share. That's 50%. That's 50% drop in 1 year. And you might think that that was a disaster. And you might explain that that drop might have been due to maybe a rise in the price of sugar, or the bottlers were kind of rebellious, or you could find a lot of many reasons why it wasn't really the ideal moment to buy Coca-Cola. And then years later, after the Great Depression, World War II, the sugar rationing, Cold War, and all of that, but nonetheless, if you would have bought a share, just a single share of Coca-Cola for $40 and reinvested it in dividends, of course, it would be worth millions by now, and of your life, of course, to see it. That factor completely overrides anything else that may happen in the world. And the point is, my point is that if you write about the business, you can make fortunes. You shouldn't worry too much about maybe the situation in the world. If it's a great company, it's going to be around for a long, long time. Timing the market, in my opinion, is pretty difficult. It doesn't matter when it's the best moment to buy the stock. If there's tons of value in it and you're willing to hold into it and own it for a long period of time, value investors don't worry about any given events if you own a great business. You buy stocks from companies like Coca-Cola because you know for certain that they're still going to be around for the next decades or centuries to come. Sure, something bad might happen to them in the company, within the company, but one isolated moment in time will be probably superseded because of how sustainable Coca-Cola is as a business. Even though there's a decline in demand for fizzy drinks in recent years, especially within groups such as millennials, Coke will simply rebrand and give something that people will continue to drink. Just think about how effective their marketing campaigns are and how effective they've been until now, and the perception of happiness that they managed to instill in people's minds. You want the business to have a moat against competition, because when people pick Coke over Pepsi, it's because of the picture that people have in their mind from Coke thanks to their marketing campaigns. In the case of Pepsi, for example, they differentiate themselves from Coca-Cola from trying to promote a brand that's creative and that's like kind of cool, and it's like, yeah, they tend to associate themselves with maybe athletes and artists and celebrities that are trending. And the concept of the moat is actually one of Warren Buffett's top principles in investing. For Coca-Cola, the brand itself is the moat. Decades of advertising and brand development has earned the company massive loyalty. Coca-Cola provides this experience in branding to all of their products. The power of branding is explained in an interview with Warren Buffett on Yahoo Finance. You can watch it on YouTube. He says that there's always been a struggle between the retailer and brands. It's very hard to make it into a big retailer such as Walmart, for example, and sell a magnificent brand. So that's profitable for them, of course. For example, if you have a terrible brand and you want to get into Walmart, that's obviously not going to happen. You're not going to be able to do it. The negotiation for getting into Walmart depends whether the product is essential versus non-essential. And there was actually one time when, for example, Costco wanted to get rid of Coca-Cola. And Costco has lots of loyalty from its customers because of brands such as Kirkland, a home decor brand only sold at Costco that makes up a third of sales for the company and is worth approximately $75 billion, according to UBS. It's also trading on in the stock exchange. I don't remember which one exactly, but it's in the markets. So Costco knows the brands very well, despite being a relatively young company, being around since 1983, and Kirkland was only around since 1992, so they know their brands very well. And in the end, what Costco did was that they decided to put Coca-Cola back on their shelves, as none of the other cola brands that they have were sold nearly as good as Coke. Even though the retail environment has changed with Amazon and online shopping, the power of a strong brand remains true. Coca-Cola continues to innovate their products and marketing strategies. Think about all the product placements that they've had in Hollywood movies, for example. That gives them a ton of exposure. Obviously, being able to access Hollywood and to have a placement on places where there may be a cultural influence obviously gives Coke a certain level of prestige. It gives them an exposure to people, that to masses of people, of course, from figures of culture, like in the case of Hollywood and music, for example. Coca-Cola was organic to the scene. You could see it on tables and scenes, a wall sign in the background, in many different ways in a movie or in a show. They want the characters to be drinking Coke, to be drinking vitamin water, smart water, and to make it seem like in real life it's actually what they drink. In the late 1950s, Coca-Cola set up an office in Los Angeles to be in Hollywood, and the idea was to make it easier for the product to get on the set, for the actors to enjoy, and to be able to get the signs there. Then in the 90s, Cola hired Premier Entertainment to take over their role. What they do at Premier Entertainment is they place Coca-Cola products in movies, in music videos, TV shows, and many other mediums of communication. And they're in the front lines with producers and studios, and they use props such as vending machines, furniture with the Coke logo, clothes, cans, bottles, wallpapers, posters, and all kinds of things. And when they make a product placement, they make sure that it's always in line with the brand value and also in line with the strategy. They also have something called the hub, which is where they collect data from social media. They try to understand how consumers perceive the company. There's approximately 33 mentions of Coke each minute in English. They look at stuff such as number of posts within the past hour, impressions within an hour, engagement, hashtags, mentions, geographic hotspots, the range that certain posts may have, etc. And this information is used to determine with precision the behavior of Coca-Cola consumers and subsequently come up with a strategy. And there is tons of content as well. I've checked this on social media, where people do the Coke and Mentos challenge. You can see it on YouTube, on TikTok, there's tons, on Instagram, of course. And it's something that's been around for years and it doesn't seem to get old enough. And that obviously gives free exposure for Coke when you see people doing silly things with Mentos and Coke experiments. And this year, Coca-Cola is going to launch their first in-house developed new brand the first time in over 10 years. It's called AHA, A-H-A, AHA. This is a sparkling water brand meant to compete with the likes of La Croix in the sparkling water market that is gaining a lot of popularity recently. According to Shane Grant, the president of the Stills division, said that it's going to be a bold and vibrant brand that will have a unique combination of accessible flavors, but also very unique differentiated flavors. It's part of their expansion strategy within the sparkling beverage business, where they actually see the detected real growth in it. And they found out that in the water business, it's generating as much retail dollar growth as all other beverage segments combined. And sparkling water is almost half of that. They already had experience within this industry with brands such as Dasani, Smartwater, and Topo Chico. But they see this as a potentially good proposition. And it could be the case that this drink can pick up significant market share in seltzer water space as Coca-Cola has the brand and the resources to do so. The design of the can is pretty good. They use great colors that are very visible. They're very distinct colors that resemble the colors of fruits, very exotic, and they're very eye-catching, and they make you really want to like feel thirsty and actually drink a can of AHA water. The marketing material also seems pretty good. So in the coming months, I expect that there's probably, hopefully, going to be a boost in the stock price. It is true, however, that Coca-Cola is a mature company. It's not a growth stock like the ones that you would find in tech. We're not going to see massive growth as we have in the past, but the fundamentals are strong, and they continue to have plans for expansion and new ways to adapt to current demands within the beverage industry. This is a company that has made consistent profits for decades and is very likely to continue along this line for the ages. I do think that the stock is slightly overvalued. Money could be better allocated towards maybe higher yielding dividend stocks. But Coke won't fail to continuously pay dividends and increasing every year their payouts. But its ability to grow over time is pretty questionable. During the past decade, Coca-Cola experienced declining revenues. However, this decline in revenues may be explained by the extensive refranchising of its bottling operations for the period between 2016 and 2018. This converted company-owned bottling plants to to franchisees, which leads to lower revenue, but higher margins due to a sharper decline in costs. If you take a look at their gross profit margins, it's always been at around 60%, more or less, meaning that the cost of goods sold is comparatively lower, and they have a pretty, it doesn't really cost them much to gain those sales, those revenues. They also have very low operating costs, relatively low operating costs, since they have no general and administrative expenses and no research and development expenses. They did experience increases in their operating cash flow for the past 2 years, and they spent a lot of money in 2019 on cash acquisitions and capital expenditures. They also paid out a lot in dividends in 2019. They paid $6.845 billion, and they've also had to pay lots in recent years worth of long-term debt, but it's actually starting to decline. And the most recent earnings per share is at $0.51. Dividend yield is at 3.63%, which is great in comparison with other companies within the sector, which has a median of just 0.62%. In fact, it's actually one of the highest dividend yields of this decade for Coke. They're a dividend aristocrat and have been increasing dividends each year for 57 years now, a 5.57% 5-year growth rate. And the payout received, the amount of money that investors collect in dividends within a year, is in total $1.64 for each share in total. While the payout ratio for 2019 was 76.73%, this is the total amount of dividends divided by net income, and it tells us how much of the net income goes to investors in the form of dividends. In 2018, it was 103.3%. In 2017, it was 506.4%. And in 2016, it was 92.6%. So we can see that they really like to please investors. Obviously, the more shares you own of Coca-Cola, the better. And it's good to include it always in a stock portfolio with stocks that pay dividends. So that's my take for Coca-Cola. I think it's a brilliant company to keep investing, since they're financially solid and they're extremely generous, pretty generous to investors. Much of their earnings go to investors, the people that have confidence in them and that hold the Coca-Cola share for a long time. And of course, they have that loyalty, not just for the brand, but also the investors. And the investors, many investors are probably also loyal to the product that they sell. Not just from an investing standpoint, but yeah, you know what I mean. But yeah, financially solid, very generous to investors. And also the fact that they dominate the global beverage industry, they're probably the market leader. And I think, yeah, there may be opinions that might think the opposite, then maybe it's not a very good stock. But I think, yeah, if you think in the long term, it's always, I think Coca-Cola is always a good pick for a long-term stock portfolio. And that's it for today, ladies and gentlemen. Hope that you enjoyed this episode, that you learned a lot from it. Make sure that you share this podcast, follow it if you haven't already. Discuss what you've learned with the people around you, with family, friends, coworkers, whoever it is. Listen to the episodes again so that you can retain the knowledge better, because you learn better with repetition. Make sure to follow me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and LinkedIn. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok as AudioClass or The AudioClass Experience. On LinkedIn, you can find me as Rodrigo Valverde Nuño. Rodrigo Valverde Nuño. And that's it. Thanks for tuning in to the AudioClass Experience. Hope to have you back next time. Have a wonderful day, and I'll see you next time. Bye.
I'd like to buy the world a home and furnish it with love.